That joy is your portion.
Amen.
The joy of victory.
Amen.
The joy of strength.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord is what?
Strength.
Say it again. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Say it one more time.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's greet somebody on your left and your right again. Tell the person, welcome to fellowship with the word. Let there be joy in the person's face. Tell the person, if it's in your heart, notify your face. Let your face know what is going on in your heart. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Now let's commence this morning by declaring the glory of the Lord. I will do that from the book of Jeremiah chapter 10. Tell somebody beside you, you are looking nice this morning. Okay, I'm using style to tell my wife that. I don't know why I just say it. Please, anybody should copy useless fashion habit, okay? I'm looking to see whether was somebody who's wearing torn jeans. I'll tell the person to go and sit in the other hall. But nobody's wearing torn jeans here in Jesus' name. The Lord will not allow you to wear rags in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's true though. All right, Jeremiah chapter 10. Let's begin from that this morning. I believe many of us know it by heart. We're going to read, as usual, from verse 6 all the way to verse 16. If you have been following us on Fridays when we are discussing the scriptures, if you have time, or not if you have time, try and make the time to join the discussion on Fridays. It's beautiful because it's a discussion. Everybody talks, all right? So we have been discussing the ordinances of the new covenant, because there are ordinances under the old and we don't observe them. All right? There are a lot of things they do under the old. They visit Jerusalem. They observe the Sabbath day. They don't work on Sabbath day. We observe a sabbatical life, not just a 24-hour period. All right? Okay? And we cease from our own works and God works in our lives. Okay, but they have physical 24 hours. They have a number of rites and ceremonies they perform. We don't have those things in Christianity. But do we have our own? Yes. We are studying a number of them. So we identified about 5. Number 1, professions. Number 2, baptism. Then we have the communion. Then we have the gathering together and the laying on of hands. That's about the number of ones we just selected out. And we are studying them. So profession is an important one in Christianity. You must deliberately open your mouth to utter things. Yeah, train yourself until things come out of your heart spontaneously. But you also deliberately utter things. Like I was saying yesterday, one of the problems with life is people tend to compartmentalize it so much. So when the move of God comes, those who are supposedly in the holiness movement, they not participate in the Pentecostal movement of modern days. All right? And those who decided to participate in it rejected the holiness movement, started misbehaving. And some rejected prosperity gospel, and some who grabbed it, they don't remember the lessons of the holiness movement. So they started becoming covetous and worldly. But one of the things you must learn is how to balance life. And that's the key to life, according to Ed Cole. Alright? It's the key to life, the ability to balance. Orthodox churches, old-time Christians, they had some habits, which included the chanting of the word of God, you know, this poetic chants. Pentecostals came and threw it away, thinking that disorder is a sign of the spirit. If you come to church and you have nothing planned, it means you are in the spirit. Today we don't know what we are going to do, as the spirit moves us. That's a wrong statement. Those who have a plan were moved by the spirit. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
Don't give the impression that those who are planless are the ones that are moved by the spirit, and those who have a plan, they are not moved by the spirit. Yeah, people can have a plan, and it's a plan of man, and the spirit overturns it. For example, listen, this is just my own personal testimony. I think more than half, possibly about 6 to 7 times out of 10 that I come here to teach, what I end up teaching is not what I planned. But I hardly come without having anything planned. Do you get my point? Yeah, more than half of the times. I start teaching, like what I want to teach this morning, I've been trying to teach it for like two or three meetings now. And you go and check it. I'll start with the same scriptures, start talking about them. Then, boom, after about 10 minutes, I go off. So, I understand that, especially when it comes to, well, those who are prophets, who do prophetic teaching and all of that, they do that a lot. But if you go and listen to people like Derek Prince, it's what they plan from home, that they teach you 9 times out of 10. David Pawson, 9 times out of 10 is what he planned from home. Do you follow my point? And it would be crazy of me to think I'm more in the spirit than they were. No, just different ways people move. You get my point? So let's not just think that disorder is a sign of being spiritual. Pentecostals love it a lot. Now, what am I going to say? Let's balance it. Okay? There are times the Holy Spirit will come and scatter things. Do you follow my point? In fact, like it happened when I was in Sokoto. Pastor Corey gives me a lot of time when I'm teaching. He knows the kind of person I am. So, one day I was teaching. He said, you have 90 minutes. All right? I said, okay. 1 hour, 10 minutes afterwards. I said, I'm finished with what the Lord wants to say. And I left the pulpit. I took about 70 minutes, plus prayer, plus everything. I said, if I speak more than this, I'll be speaking my own thing. I knew when I had exhausted, and I was describing the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one senior man of God was there. He came at the end of it. He gave me a big hug. In fact, later he now told me that before I came, he had described the Father. And along the line, he said that we need to describe the Son. Then I climbed the pulpit like a day after, and I described the Son. Then when I finished describing the Son, I went and sat down. So if the Holy Spirit can overshoot, it can also undershoot. It's not only when you just carry time, you know, just, do you follow my point? Now, I'm just trying to say that, listen, as Pentecost, let's learn to, as Christians, let's balance everything. Let's balance what? Everything. Chance, reciting the word of God that we have prepared. Of course, not from our head, but from the word of God that the Holy Spirit has breathed upon for us, is a necessary part of Christianity. This is when we go to Pentecostal churches, all our hymns, you know, sometimes I say hymns, all our songs, what we call praise, a lot of it is nothing but excitement, gyration. It's party spirit. We're having parties, and there's nothing wrong, there are times for celebration. Many times what we call praise, we don't do anything like praise. Just go there, we are so, the way we vibrate top to bottom, no need to go to the gym, just go to church. Real aerobics. I think, personally, I think we should sing nice, calm hymns. Many songs they are singing in church, you can't even follow them. I've been to many churches, not one. As they start singing, bang, 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 big, 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 I just want to sit down. I just want to sit down. Why? I can't follow the things you are saying. I don't think Jesus can follow it too. The noise is so loud. Meanwhile, the emphasis should be on the words. The emphasis should be on the words. What I'm trying to say is this. People of God, there are some good habits. Let's form them. To rise up in the morning and recite a psalm is good. I grew up with some of those things. When I began to learn, faith and Pentecostal thing, I threw them away. But don't worry, I rediscovered them later. Like yesterday, we asked, who was it? It was Bro Jonah that recited the Apostles' Creed for us. Most Pentecostals these days, they can't recite it. And I think you should go and learn it. The Apostles' Creed. Go and learn it. Learn it. And recite, even if it's once a month. I know it's not part of your church service. Recite it. It's good. You don't know more that thing. I've gone through it. There's nothing wrong inside it. And most people don't even know that. The people, they don't even know. And many Christians are going around not believing every line. Like we said yesterday, when you say, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, we emphasize that. It didn't say, I believe in the Roman Catholic Church. Because these days, the word Catholic for us is Roman Catholic. Meanwhile, Catholic only means everywhere, universal, the whole body. So I believe in a single, united Church of Christ on the earth. You should say it. If you say it enough of time, you know that the guys in the church next door, they are your brothers. They are your sister. You will know. The Lord is good. What am I trying to say? Let's have good habits. Yesterday we discussed about profession. And then we talked about baptism. That's in the discussion. All right. Very nice discussion. All right. We're even going to talk next time about how much water do you need for baptism. Do you know it's written in the Bible? It's written clearly in the scriptures. It told you the quantity. How many meals? Now that last one is a joke. But if you come for a discussion, we'll see. We'll thrash it out. And then we'll also emphasize the fact that we're not working in legalism. Okay? Like somebody asked me that. Anyway, let me not start teaching that one now. So, this morning we are doing one of our ordinances as believers, which is what? Profession. We profess the faith of God. But what we are focusing on this morning, again as usual, is the glory of our God and Father. Jeremiah chapter 10 from verse 6. Those who are coming, just please note that quickly. Again, let's use the same version of the scriptures. If you don't have it, look into your neighbor's room. We are reading together from the New American Standard. Now, if you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
Now, one, two, let's go. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your name in might. Who will not fear you, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is your due. For among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But they are altogether stupid and foolish. In their discipline of delusion, their idol is wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Ufaz, the work of a craftsman, and the hands of a goldsmith. Violet and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skilled men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the God that did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he has stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there's a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Every man is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. The portion of Jacob is not like this, for the maker of all is he, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
This morning again, we worship our Father. We worship the Son, Jesus Christ. We say Jesus is our Lord. We say Jesus is our Savior.
Amen.
We say Jesus is our Lord.
Amen.
We say Jesus is our Savior.
Amen.
In him we live, in him we move,
Amen.
And in him we have our being.
Amen.
We live for him. We serve his purpose for our lives. There's a reason why he gave us life, and that's the reason why we live. We walk to serve that purpose. The primary purpose of our lives is to be perfectly conformed to the image of the Son. And that's the highest goal for our living. Once again, we worship the Son and we worship the Father in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, as we go into the Word of God, we have opened our hearts for insight. We have opened our hearts for understanding. And we believe that God has granted these things to us.
Amen.
Therefore, we declare as follows.
That
the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. Word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. All right, the Lord is good. Please take your seats, and let me give you a bit of information. God is good. He has done me well, oh my soul. Rise up and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, I welcome everybody again this morning to the teaching of the word from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries. I want to tell you that as we minister the word of God this morning, the power of God will be available. Amen?
Yes.
It's available already.
Amen.
Understanding and that power is entering every heart that is open this morning.
Amen.
This morning you will receive again the assurance of salvation.
Amen.
You will receive the cleansing of your spirit.
Amen.
You will receive the knowledge of what God requires of you. And you receive the ability to carry it out.
Amen.
It's not by human effort. It's the entrance of the Spirit. And that's what we are ministering. We're not ministering simple knowledge. But we are ministering the power of God. The Bible says he sent his word and it healed them. And delivered them from all their destructions. So I say to you this morning, the word is coming with healing power.
Amen.
You'll be made whole by that same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Now let's open this morning to start today's teaching to the book of Isaiah chapter 56. Like I said, there's something I've been trying to teach for some time. Let's see how much of it I'll be able to do. So Isaiah chapter 56, we're reading from verse 1. We'll read about 7 verses. It said, "Thus says the Lord, preserve justice and do righteousness. For my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness about to be revealed. How blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning the Sabbath, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely separate me from his people.' Nor let the eunuch say, 'Behold, I am a dry tree.' For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me." Please notice that. To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, to the eunuchs who choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, to them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. Also, the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even to those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, and my house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples." I'll stop reading in verse 7. Now, let me start with that same introduction I've used for some time, and let's see where I get with it, all right? I was talking about God, and then I went, anyway, the way we went last week. So let me try and teach what I wanted to teach last week and the week before. Again, I was saying that God is good and God is love. He never, ever commands anything for his own good. He doesn't need good from anybody for his own benefit. God said to Job, if you desire to do evil, you know who it will affect? People like yourself. That is, human beings like yourself. They are the ones he will hurt. He will not hurt me. It's not possible. And that's one point he made clear to Job. What God was saying is that, look, your righteousness is for your benefit. It's not for my sake. Your righteousness is for the benefit of your brother, your sister around you. And I want you to love them the way you love yourself. That's what I give instructions for. I never give any commandment that will help me. The only way I get help, in quote, is when you bless somebody else. I don't know where I get my point. That is like, it satisfies me when somebody else is blessed. That's just the character of God. And when we are like God, that will be our character also. And you know, I have a small pet project, so I'll go there. That is why if you give, all right, as a Christian, your satisfaction should never be in what it produced for you. It is unbelief. It is unloving for you to say, I have given God 1,000 naira and then he gave me back 10,000 and I'm happy. You are not like your father. Those testimonies in which we take our microphones and start bragging on our seed and what it has produced. Now I'm now very rich. I know how much I give to God. It shows that you are more like the world than your heavenly father. The testimony of your heavenly father and the son Jesus Christ, if he were to testify, all right, is that I gave 1,000 naira. Look at the effect it produced in the lives of people. People said this work couldn't be done with anything less than 1,000,000. I gave them 1,000. Look at what it did. Do you follow my point? Paul said, look, even if I'm dying, even if I'm being poured out, so what matters to me is that, is your faith being strengthened? Is the faith of the church there being strengthened? Are people's lives being transformed? So if I see that, I'm satisfied. So Isaiah 53 told us about Christ Jesus. the servant of God. He said he will see the result of the travail of his soul and he will be satisfied. That will make him happy. That is God's character. Why am I talking about it again? That's what we should learn. We don't do anything for bragging rights. Do you get my point? So one of my friends, I went to his church to preach. He was not giving testimony about how I was such a blessing to him when he started ministry in that area and all of that. So as he was talking, I didn't know he was talking about me. So after a while, I realized he was talking about me. So his wife was sitting beside me. So I turned to her that, I think your husband is mistaken. She said, he's not mistaken. I said, no, I don't think. We started having a conversation while her husband was talking. I said, no, I think he's mistaken. She said, no, I remember very well. Do you know, I was racking my brain. It was when I go home. Of course, I knew they must have been telling the truth. But I had absolutely no recollection. I had no recollection at all. They now turned that even to a joke. He said, look at him, he can't even remember. He said, that's how they are. That these people who do good, you get my point? I said, look, what I'm trying to say is that I give God the glory. When I came home, I told my wife. She said, well, she remembers a part of it. I said, wow, me, I can't even remember. And listen, I don't forget things that easily. No, don't think I'm that kind of person that some people don't remember anything. What did you eat this morning? They have used it to eat. Are you getting my point? The memory of it, they swallowed it. Now what I'm saying is that we don't do what is good for bragging rights. We don't do what is good so we can brag even before God. It's a Pharisaical way of preaching. When you go to him and add that directly or no, without saying anything, you present to him why he should bless you. He should check how good you have been and the things you have done for him. It's the reason why I've told all of you that I'm still sowing seed to get something. See, I'm being prophetic in that area. Eh? Frustration will soon teach you to come and listen to me. That if you want something from God, what do? Ask him. Ask in faith. You don't bargain with him. It's not necessary. He loves you enough. Whatever he can't do for you on the basis of his love for you and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, may you never get it. Amen. Yeah, that is not good for you. If these two things I've said cannot provoke him to do something for you, that thing is not good for you. I always like to add to it. I'm not saying we don't give. I'm saying it's our habit because we are God's children. And when we do give, we just take our satisfaction from the fact that God has found us worthy of being a blessing to others. He has blessed us so we can be a blessing. We are not a blessing so we can be blessed. Do you get my point? The other is wrong, the way many of us think. I'm a blessing so I can be blessed. No. I've been blessed so I can be a blessing. The blessing of God comes before I'm able to bless somebody. You can't give what God has not given you. That's why you can't steal to be of good to anybody. The sacrifice is not acceptable. Please, I'm describing the nature of God again. Please. I don't care who teaches the opposite. What I've told you is the word of God. Now, let me tell you something that's going to happen to many people who are listening to this. All right? They won't accept. It will take them 5 years of trying to think they can control life. Let me tell something to you. One of the things God wants to break out of you, because it's a very common, very popular teaching in Christianity. It's a subtle form of witchcraft, but Christians don't know it. You know what it is? Unconsciously, we are being taught we can control life, but we can't. God didn't give that one to us. A lot of people don't know it. Unconsciously, and that's what we're trying to practice. Master, I will be like the Most High. Yeah, that's what we are practicing. We don't know it. We are not practicing, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. What we are practicing, I will be like the Most High. If you read through the scriptures, the Bible tries to emphasize to us here and there, it emphasizes to us here and there that it is as the Spirit wills. All this worketh the self-same Spirit, dividing to everyone as he wills. So somebody wants to teach you how to interpret dreams. No, interpretation of dreams come as the Spirit wills. Somebody wants to teach you how to control things by your faith. No, it is as the Spirit wills. The critical, listen, let me tell you something about faith again. As written in Hebrews chapter 11, what Hebrews 11 was teaching is dependence and reliance and allowing what God said to be the primary thing. Depending on the word of God, trusting the word of God, relying on the word of God, and allowing it to be the first. Please, let me say this. I'm begging you. Listen to it. I know what I did. I know what I did. I proved God. I gave God 10,000 naira. I gave God 50,000. Look at the result. It's witchcraft. It's preached every day. We practice every day. You think you can control your prosperity by your seed? You're out of your mind. How did Jabez prosper? He prayed. You obey what God said he would do. People say, these are principles. God didn't, listen, God never gave principles to those who are not disciples. Disciples are trying to become like the master. Any principle of God you take and use outside following his will has turned you to another Satan. I will be like the most. There's no principle Satan is using that's not established by the laws of God. He didn't write any laws. There's no principle Satan is using. So don't try to think these are the spiritual principles. Once you start using it for your own end, you are following Satan. Satan understands the principle of seed and harvest. Satan understands the principle of timing. Satan understands something we don't even understand. He understands that for you to be punished by God, you have to disobey him. So what he does is going around instigating you against God. So the fact that you know certain spiritual principles is not the issue. It is that what are you doing with it? When you take those spiritual principles, you've learned them, you come and lay them down before him. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He told that king, ask for a sign. He said, I will not ask. It's not everything you have the power or right to do that you do. Ask for anything. I'm not going to ask you for money. I'm not going to ask you for land. I'm not going to ask you for the life of my enemies. I'm not going to ask you for all these things. What do you want? You've given me a job. Give me the ability to do it well. Imagine a man just getting married. And God walks up to you. What do you want me to do for you? Say, Lord, I've read many stories in this life. Please, I'm begging you, let me be a good husband to this woman. Let my marriage not be another example of useless marriages. People are asking for duplex. They're asking for money. On your wedding day, God asks you, what do you want me to do for you? That is all you're asking. It shows you have read something good from Solomon. You've read something good from your scriptures. You've learned what is more important than that. He came on your wedding day. He knew why he came that day. He didn't come on your graduation. On your graduation, there are other things you were asking for. If he comes the day you give birth to your first child, so what do you want me to do for you? You look through the scriptures. Lord, I want you to take this child as your own. I want you to help me raise this child as your own. Let this child become a Samuel. That's all God wants to hear. Don't say, we have cornered God. Some people are still trying to give 1,000 burnt offerings so that God will come to them. So you say, what do you want? Say, I want 1,000,000 offerings in return. God, offer to me. Yeah, I've offered to you. It's your turn. Is that not how we behave? Let's not practice witchcraft. Everything in life is about God. There is a reason for my life. Help me to fulfill it. I was saying what faith is. Faith is hearing from God, from his word, and obeying it, trusting that what he said will come to pass. Faith is not the method by which I get my needs met. And I just get to say, what? No, that anything I desire in life. I've heard people preach some things. Now I say, how can you preach this? That what matters to God is your desire. I say, no. What matters to God is that your desire is that which he has willed. I mean, people say, no, there's nothing like the will of God. I say, see, it's about your desire. I said, no, God, may I not have my desire? Not my will, but yours be done. Let me tell you something a lot of us don't realize. God actually loves you more than you can love yourself. He actually wants more good for you than you can desire for yourself. Some of us actually think that he doesn't. We think he's so preoccupied with worship and praise. Look, Jesus doesn't have to come and teach you physics by himself. He will send an angel, and you will learn more physics than Albert Einstein can ever imagine. Ordinary angel. What if he comes by himself? Holy Spirit enters you. Say, what is the subject you are studying in school that's giving you a headache? Say, Lord, it's chemistry. It's biochemistry. I don't understand this mitochondria activity. He will draw it for you. He will take you into the mitochondrion. You will be seeing all the electron transport, all the cytochrome, P4, everything. You will be seeing them. You will see them physically like this. So you see the way it works? See that one going zoom like that? It's not a racing car. It's ATP. You will, he will show you everything. You will come out of that place. Next time you go to class, you'll be laughing at your lecturer. Someone says, why are you laughing? What she said is not true. How do you know? He will explain this how really it works. That ATP is not exchanged before that reaction. It's just, it's immediately after the reaction that the first ATP is exchanged. And they're looking like, are you okay? I say, okay, leave it now. 1 year later, they buy a journal. A Nobel Prize winning, you know, equation has been, you know, published. And your friend reads it. And he remembers that you taught him this thing last year. And he comes to you and say, you read this thing before. Just tell him, I did not. The God who made the mitochondria took me through a tour of the mitochondria. So what is this thing he has said? Do you know he does it? We think God always goes to church. God only knows how to write praise. I say, God, what do you have to say? I'm the creator. I'm the most high. You know, we think he's a God. You know, the G-O-D, small letter. We're just trying to harass everybody. No. Where I'm going is that, do you know, he knows everything. I gave a testimony at that time. I wanted to buy a car. God said, this one is not good. This one is not good. Look, let's get to a better one. He's not that thing to me. Three clear times. So, no, you know, I was trying to explain the fact that we are learning faith that teaches us control. That's not what we need. We need faith that teaches us how to yield to a God who knows better than we do. Many people are making decisions every day about their lives. I just laugh. I say, you don't understand. You are trying to plan your life. Listen, I told you, you can't do the will of God until you've learned how not to worry. You see what I say? You cannot do the will of God until you have learned how not to worry. There's a principle behind not worrying. You have to learn how to pray. You have to learn how to give thanks. You have to learn how to rejoice. You learn these things from the scriptures. Why? Because this future you are talking about, God got them ahead of you. You are not trying to describe to him what your future should be like. He got there ahead of you. Christians, there are some things you hear all the time. But let God not hear from your mouth. Now, please, you know, please, I keep saying this, just I have gotten a reputation for it, which is not the right thing, but you can live in any country you want. But please don't give your children as an excuse. It's annoying. As people tell me that, all this is because of the children. I say, it's not because of the children. If it was because of the children, they'll be in church every day. If you really love these children every day, very much, to plan for their future, you will drag them to church, they'll be reciting scripture every day. Oh, I don't have time to talk about some things. If you want to plan a brilliant future for your children, first, make them recite, memorize. Look, have you seen the, okay, I didn't want to say this, but have you seen the way Muslims do it? Have you seen the way Jews do it? I don't know what length they have to recite and memorize before a certain age. Before the Jews allow you to, what they call that ceremony their children pass through into maturity. The bar mitzvah. It's not just, it's cramming of the Torah. Look, one of the things I would love to do, if God allows me, is to write some fun, that is, I don't mean to be, no, children can learn. Don't think they can. I told one of our sisters, the daughter recited Psalm 119 for us in front of everybody. The whole of Psalm 119. Some of us don't know it's doable. She crammed it from beginning to the end and stood in front of the congregation and recited the whole thing. So the COVID period, my children said that they wanted to buy a game. When you know me, I don't play games. I've never, look, I think just not in my brain. So I didn't know the cost of PS4 games. I thought they are like 1.5, you know, that kind of thing. And they had to buy, you know, genuine, they had to go and buy the disc from the mall. When they told me the price, I said, what? To just see things running up and down the screen? No, honestly. I would rather spend that money buying bread and, you know, stuff. And they said, no, the game. So they wonder, they look at me funny. So for all the daddies in Enugu, you are the only one that can't afford the game. So I said, let's have a deal. All of you, anyone that wants to play part of that game, should go and memorize 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I said, you have to pay. I can't just dole out this amount of money. For nothing. No, no, no. You have to let's so what is the price? I said, all of you, NIV. Yes, NIV is okay. First Corinthians chapter 13, go and learn it. When you are finished, come back. You get money for your game. Was it not 24 hours or 48 hours? They came back. Oh, yeah. She said, the money is ready. We are ready. All of them, you can see like this. The only one I didn't participate, even though she still did, is my daughter, but she doesn't care. I've never seen her hold that pad. Like, I've never. It's as if, don't contaminate my fingernails. That kind of attitude. If somebody said that men and women are not different, it's a lie. They are very different. They are very different. She has never picked that part that, you see the guys, they will sit in front of the screen like, If you don't tell her, hey, go and sleep, they won't leave that place. The girl has never picked it to even see what it does. But she joined them anyway. And everybody within a day or two memorized 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from beginning to the end, recited for me almost 100% flawlessly. I scored them. Each person, you need to get like 98%, but that is like where they say, maybe you say ye. That's the kind of error you're allowed. If you want to plan for this change, that's what I'm saying. These are the kind of exercises you take them through. Learn scriptures. How do I know? Go and read what God told or said concerning Abraham. I have chosen him that he will teach his children. He will command his household, his children after him in the way of the Lord. They must learn how to do righteousness and justice. That way, the promise I have made concerning him and his descendants will come to pass. You can't tell me you are planning for the life of children and that is not your focus. You think it's a good education? Leave that in. Yesterday, I was, about 2 days ago, I saw a clip of Warren Buffett. And Warren Buffett was describing how one woman sold him a business she built for $68 million. All right? Now, describe how the woman arrived in America and worked in one part of the U.S. for 20 years and saved $2,500. Look, that $2,500 in today's dollars, maybe probably be about $20,000, all right? Or maybe $15,000. Then she moved over to Chicago and started a furniture business. And when she sold the furniture business to him, it was worth, he paid $68 million. And the woman could not read or write. That's what the gist is. Never went to school a day in her life. She arrived in America, never having been to school. I don't know which part of, maybe at the part of Europe she came from. And he said the woman couldn't read, couldn't write. Yeah, she built a business. She labored hard for 20 years, saved some money, built a business that after some years she sold to Warren Buffett for $68 million. He was the one telling the story. And he was trying to say, look, it's not the education that you need. Now, he's not saying education is not good. This principle of investing, he learned as a master's student. So he went to school. But there are so many rules to this market. Of the men I have talked to, eaten with, discussed with, I think the one that's arguably the richest of them in this country. I've met many people. This will be the richest person I have met. It's one that told me that I finished school in primary 6. Yeah, he said I stopped in primary 6. I asked him, sir, have you read this book of mine? Because he follows the ministry, he listens to my messages. He said, man of God, you know, I told you I don't read much. I rather listen. He said, you know, I'm not used to reading. I finished school in primary 6. It's the one that said sent a Rolls Royce and policeman to come and take me from the airport. He said, I finished school in primary 6. He said, is it not interesting? That's the reason why everybody now listens to me. Academies here and there teaching people. So I go there to teach. Why? Because I finished formal education in primary 6. I didn't go to secondary school. Say why? Say because my senior brothers wouldn't agree to pay. Because they were his half brothers, born by another mother. All right? Say, look, they would say the fact that they have problems of their own to solve. So my mother was forced to take me to go and learn a trade of any sort. So I went to the mechanic. Said that the mechanic came from under the car and his cloth was dirty. So I told my mother I'm not doing. So that was the only thing that annoyed him. Like, you are the guy here. Look at your clothes. He said that was all upset him. If the boss is looking like this, what would the servants be looking like? So finally, they finally got him to go and learn to trade. From there, next day, long story. He said, I don't read much because I just don't have the habit. Because I stopped formal schooling in primary 6. I've heard the nonsense people say that if you go to this country, from childhood your children are using computers. There's none of my child that can did that is not using computer. What do you call it, tab? It's just a small mobile computer. What's the big deal about it? And it's been shown, records, say research done. All right, if a child has never seen a computer, never seen anything at the age of as a teenager or the age of 20, it catches up within a year or two. Studies have been done on it. He catches up within a short time. It's like saying you have never spoken English, so you won't learn it. That they catch up in it. Look, what you call computing is just life. There's no big deal about it. It's the same thing as counting money. It's the same thing as ironing cloth. It's the same thing as climbing tree. It's even more difficult to harvest a mango from the high point than to program. You've not tried to store mango before? Accurate catapulting. Okay, some of you young people, you don't know what they call a catapult. When we were young, we used to go, you go and get a branch of a tree to give you a Y, then you tie rubber here. We had different qualities of rubber. You tie it. Some of people were professional in making it. Then using the stone to aim is not the issue. Anybody who can sit down like that and aim to and get it accurate, you can program AI. So don't harass us about is the children I'm doing this for. When you are not focused on teaching them righteousness. You are not focused on teaching them the fear of God. What am I talking about? This future you are worried about, God got there ahead of you. Follow him to the place. I talked about that some time ago. Follow him to the place. Don't think you can plot it. It is not a right teaching of faith for us to give this impression we can accurately determine how things will work out. Let me say that again. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. It is not a true teaching of faith for us to think we can accurately predict how things will work out. Go and read your Hebrews chapter 11 again. I was saying, what is real faith? Real faith just means that I found God and I followed him. Real faith means the word of the Lord came to me and I did as he commanded. Real faith means that I saw the precepts of heaven communicated clearly and I did as was demanded. Real faith means that, look, my name is Manuel. My wife gets visited by an angel and they told me that my wife is going to get pregnant and that these are things she must not eat while being pregnant. These are things that she must not drink while she's pregnant. And when the boy is born, these are things he will not participate in. And we did exactly as we were told. So when my wife was pregnant, she didn't take any strong drink. Because God said, I don't want a boy to come out drunk. And the boy was taught some things. And we obeyed the things that the Spirit said. That's what faith is. Real faith is God sends an angel. Your name is Mary. The angel said you are going to conceive. And you're like, excuse me, do you know the process of conception? Said, okay, yeah, we're using a new process on you. What did he just say? The Spirit of God will overshadow you. I always make a joke of it. That Mary said, how shall this thing be, seeing that I know no man? What does that tell you? The angel was not saying to her, one day you will be pregnant. No, he's telling her now, I'm living here, you're pregnant. And that's why she said, you don't get it. The wedding is still some months away. How shall it be? Now, this is the joke I make about it. The angel now gave an explanation, which was worse than the initial confusion. She now said to the young girl, the Spirit of God shall overshadow you. So it's like, excuse me, how has that helped me? What have you said now? That's clearer than where I was. Anyway, let's not argue over this. Let's not argue over it at all. Let it be unto me according to your word. That's it. That is what faith is. It's not as Mary began to plant a seed and began to confess. That's not what faith is. It's that the word of the Lord came. That's why I've said to you many times, you don't have an option. You don't have any better thing to do with your life than to take scriptures and read. And to take messages of sound teaching. I don't mean motivation. Please, don't waste your life motivational speaking. It causes frustration. Let me explain. If you listen to motivational talk too much, you will be frustrated. Because they will tell you can do it when you can't. Which motivation, my people, will you use to be hacking at a rock and water will come out? There's a rock. You are thirsty. You have steel, galvanized steel, reinforced steel. They said, strike the rock. Moses struck it, water came out. Woo! Strike the rock. And you are there striking the rock. You know what? One day they will write a book about a foolish man that spent all his life striking a rock. He did not know there's no water inside the rock. Books will be sold about your madness. Why? You listen to the motivational speaker. It lead you astray. I read some people, saw videos, no people teaching. One man said, I still have it on my phone, the myth of the successful young entrepreneur. He said it's a myth. He said it's a myth. That they take a few rare, very rare examples and put it in front of you. That's how it works. He said, go and check it. Most successful entrepreneurs make it in their 40s and their 50s. So that's what happens to most of them. And again, he said, look, Steve Jobs, you're talking about. He said, when he really made it, he was 50-something. He will explain. He said, you pick a few examples here and there. They did studies on it. He said, young people, don't deceive yourself. One man even said, look, you want to be rich in this life, don't start a business. He said, I'm sorry I had to caption my teaching like that just to get your attention. He now began to explain that, look, when you start a business, that you will meet so many frustrations that better go and get a job first to learn on somebody else's time and somebody is directing you. Don't do this, do this. So that's how you learn. He said, don't take a few examples. People just jumped out of university and then they started there and said, I don't want to work for anybody. I don't know whether I get my point. Now, he wasn't saying you get his own logic. That this life, you will learn. So if you can't learn on your own, go and learn under somebody. He said, most people make it when they are, I was talking to my son yesterday. Which one of them? Okay, two of them were in the cars. We're living here. I say a lot of preachers, and they'll soon fizzle out. In fact, one man of God was telling me, he said he landed, he was out of the country for some time. He landed. He said he saw a lot of posters here and there. All these young girl ministers. He said this is the council of Pharaoh. They have been exposed. They will soon die out. He said, I was just driving. As I landed at the border, I said, I was seeing billboards. He said, see this face. He said, this is the council of Pharaoh now. You have been exposed. You will dry out to the elements. I said, So I said to my children yesterday, I said, look, don't be in a hurry to happen. The same people that are happening you, after some time, they see another person, they will so dump you. They'll be cycling you like this. Why am I going all of this? So don't let motivational speakers push you. That's why I'm saying this. Don't let motivational speakers push you. They can push you to be striking at a rock that will never bring out water. Of course, you know the way I explain it most. Which talk do you want to talk to Lazarus? A dead Lazarus, the more you talk to him, the more he rots away. What you need is the power of life. That was what Moses went to the rock with. So even though the rock was inherently dry, when he took the rock and struck it, he blew. It is not striking that's the issue. It's that God said do it. And that obedience to the word brought forth water. It is not motivation that brought Lazarus out of the grave. It's that the word of life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Resurrection spoke to Lazarus. Lazarus had to get up. Life spoke to Lazarus. Lazarus had to respond. So what you need, like I said, to be honest, go and listen, read the word. It's not motivation I'm talking about. It's life. It's life. You need to connect yourself with life on a daily basis. You need to connect your children with life on a regular basis. That's what you need, oh, people of God, that is what you need. This future, you can't plan it. Please, let me say this again. I know I've preached the same thing so many times. If you see me at a seminar, all right, you don't see me many of them, but I'm not saying it's wrong to go. Just go and learn what is right to do. Don't learn how to hammer, how to get results, how to succeed. Just go and learn what is right to do. The other day, my wife said she was going for a particular seminar. I asked my counselor, I said, I don't know what they are teaching there now. It's not a church seminar, not a spiritual thing. It was educational. He said, I should advise you. I advise you on what I don't know. So after, I said, you should think about it. She thought, she said she will go. Later, she told me how much money she had to pay. And I understood why she needed advice. The money was big, actually. I said, okay. You don't pay. Go now. Now, where I'm going is that when she came back, what was my question? What did you learn? Then she told me a number of things, but there's one she picked and I'd never thought about before. I said, wow. that finally explains certain human behavior. So I've been telling, reminding her since. I was telling Tall Reverend yesterday, please, get me somebody who can do this thing for her. This is so important. She learned it from there. Is that going to command sudden results? No. But it's just the right thing to do. There are some big posters all over town on church growth. See, let me just tell you. There are 3 big men there. Go for the seminar if you wish to. But don't even fool yourself that you will leave the place and your church will grow. Apostle, please go if you want to go. But, no, this is not a criticism of the program. I've been to many church growth seminars for those days. But you just go and learn what is right to do. That Boski has more followers than all of you. Look, all of you doing church growth. He has more. And listen, what am I saying? So? Because, you see, that fake prophet in Lagos that time, all right? You remember that? You know, of course, I told you for a long time the guy was fake, and you know what I mean. People say BBC told us, I said, forget BBC. In fact, one of the ways I used to know fake prophets are those who tell me a great prophet died. I said, I've marked you. You're a fake prophet. That's how I know them. Once I see your photo and I see, you know, TB on the side, I said, this, you are fake. I don't need to pray. I've known. That's discerning of photograph. I just look at the picture and I know you are fake. Okay? Now, where am I going? Do you know one of the ways he drew his crowd? He knew some of these principles we are going to learn. I saw BBC show up a clip where we were being interviewed years ago. And the people had come out from there years. Some people say, why are they talking after he's dead? I said, no, you started listening after he died. They spoke for years. You did not listen. There is nothing they were showing. Okay, not there's a few. But most of the things they should, I heard first, these guys use certain principles some people are going to learn to draw a large crowd of ignorant, confused, unsaved, not on the path to salvation people. So please don't go and learn that kind of nonsense. How to use media. How to do this. I've seen all kinds of advice. So this is not furthering the gospel. I leave it. Where I'm going is that. Don't go somewhere trying to learn certain principles but you just blow overnight. Like somebody says, not every growth that is healthy. Cancer is also a growth. You go for seminars, go and learn what is right to do. Go and learn what is right. You must always want to do better than you are doing currently. Go for seminars to learn what is right to do. Results, you know what Paul said? You plant, you water, and go and rest. It is God that gives the increase. The increase is not a result of you knew the right things to do. I planted, Apollos watered, then we went home. We went to sleep. I'm adding many scriptures together. He gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. The kingdom of God is like a man that planted and went to sleep. I planted, Apollos watered, then we went to sleep. Then God gave the increase. You can't force the increase. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Increase may not come when you, because with God, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like a day. You can plant now, water now, and God says the time of the increase is 15 years from today. Now this is the interesting part. If you know the spiritual principles, planting, when I say go to sleep, it doesn't mean you don't do anything again. It just means if there's a principle, this is what you're supposed to plant, keep on planting it. If this is your way of watering, keep the watering. Carry your eyes away from when the increase will come. You don't know. You don't know. Just relax. Just relax. This is God's doing. You can't settle down in life as a Christian and say, I'm going to make money. By this particular age, I've had this amount of money. See, some people come and testify that that's what they did and they got this result. You know, like I keep on saying about testimonies, which you have to be careful about them. They cannot pass statistical analysis, most of them. Because for you to say that's the way it works, I need to see 1,000 people do it. And let me see that a significant number of them got more results than average. You don't do any of those studies. You pick one person. Because if I want to tell you how to be rich also, I can tell you that I slept, I kept on sleeping, then I became rich. Because there are people that's what happened to them. There are people that's all that. They have nothing to tell you more than I was sleeping. You're not going to tell your church members, every guy here, you got to go sleep, man. Learn how to sleep. Exactly, sleeping positions. No, you don't do that. That's why I say, look, what we need is God's word. We just learn what is right to do. Is this right? Is this wrong? We ignore that which is wrong and do that which is right. If it produces results or not, our guide is scripture. Because if you're talking about results, now I've told you this, look, pastors, listen. Don't let large crowds excite you too much. Except you like the congregation of people that don't believe. Read your scriptures. The largest crowds, including those that follow Jesus Christ, majority of them did not believe. And he told the disciples, why are you speaking to them in parables? He said they are deaf people. And they were following him. He said, hearing they will hear, they will not understand. Seeing they will see, they will not perceive. He said their hearts are dull. Yet they were following him. Ezekiel gathered a large congregation like that. God said, see, that's how they come. That's what God told Ezekiel. He said, you know what you are to them? You are an entertainer. He said, well, why do I say so? Because the things you are saying, they don't do them. Yet, numbers. Ezekiel had them in large numbers. That they will talk to themselves. Say, let's go and hear the word of the Lord from the prophet. What am I saying? Forget the numbers. Just ask yourself, am I doing that which is right? Am I doing, even as a business person, you know, how wealthy you have become, how much money you are making is not the primary thing. I've explained here again and again, there are a number of reasons we do business as Christians. Money is the last on the list. That's increasing our wealth. It's the last on the list. Number one way, okay, let me not put them in perfect order. Or let me just list them. One, to be a blessing to people. I remember when I first came to Enugu that time, I started looking for shop space. You'd be surprised. You wanted to do business? Yes. What business? I wanted to sell Christian books. Because I didn't see where in town they were selling. I came from Lagos where every week I went to three bookshops. I used to go to De Cross, used to go to Ify Music, and I used to go to, there were three in Pound Grove, two in Pound Grove, one in Ojolegba. I used to go there regularly. So all kinds of books, I used to buy books. I tell you one day my wife called, this was after we had gotten engaged to be married, all right? So she was in Benin, she was to talk, you know, she'll call. So she called one day, and I told her that I went out that day, and I bought two books. And she was surprised that, I know this guy is flat broke. Where did he get money from? That's what she wanted to know. I borrowed it. And you bought two books. You don't have money to eat. You had money to borrow to buy two books. One of them is Heritage of Great Evangelical Teachings. I'd heard my pastor quote it in church. I now saw it. How can he pass me by? So I bought. And in case you don't know, the money with which I bought those two books was at least 20% of my month's salary, which I was not getting. I borrowed it. She looked at me on the phone. She said, I have no words for you. That's what she said. I don't know what to say. A hungry man didn't borrow money to eat. He went and borrowed money to buy books. Now, where am I going? We got married. We came to Enugu. And I had nowhere to go and hang out. My normal hangout. Now, he said, which book are you looking for? I wasn't looking for any book. I just entered the shop, looking around. Eventually, my eye will catch something. That's what I used to do. So I remember when they increased our salary. The first one they paid, me and my friend. The guy's a neurosurgeon in Lagos now. We entered and ran to Challenge Bookshop. If those of you know Mushi, that upper part of Mushi, we entered the place, you know. We're just picking, you know, this kind of like, yeah, now we have money. Big Bible, big book, came out, paid. Yeah, calculate that one, you know. So I came to Enugu, I was looking for that. I didn't find. I'm not saying it wasn't there, but I didn't find. Do you get my point? I looked for a long time. I did not find. So finally, because of that, and I said, all right, I'm going to open a shop. I wasn't trying to make money. I just wanted to make Christian books available. The kind of ones I used to buy. And really, I was actually asking around, where can I get a small, should I need a small office? I want to sell Christian. I was going to start importing books from Lagos, stacking them there. Then one day, my friend Mike just called me, hey, Banky. I said, what? He said, there's this particular shop. And he took me there. And I saw that kind of shop existed. What's the name of that shop now? Hidden Treasures. When I saw Hidden Treasures, do you know, on the spot, I canceled the idea. I said, oh, they have something like this. So I now became their customer. That Bible that's here, there's one Bible I leave here a lot of times. Where is it? Okay, maybe it's on the other side. That big brown Bible. If you open it, you will see it. The name of the woman who owned the shop, her name is on the cover. It's her Bible. Yes. But I kept on coming, asking for that version. I kept on coming, asking for that version. She didn't have. So finally she said, look, you want this in so much. I have a copy. She brought her copy out and just wrote on it. To, and I wrote my name below. I said, you can have it. That's like, go on, just pick it and open. You see her full name in her handwriting on the cover of the Bible. It was after I had come again, I said, madam, hey, is it available now? No, I'm trying to get, I have a new consignment coming next week, no problem. After I came back so many times, the woman said, I beg, lest he wears me out, which is frequent coming. She took her own copy, beautiful then, new, and said, take. And I left her alone. Now, what am I saying? That was the first reason we Christians do business. We want to be a blessing to people. And that is why whatever you are doing, always try to do it better. Another reason why we do business, everybody has a skill, everybody has a calling, everybody has something that's supposed to contribute to life. You have to have an avenue for doing it. Like when people ask, what is Kingdom World Ministries? I say, it is the organizational platform to produce the word of God that he placed on my lips. Do you get my point? Yeah, because everything has to have organization around it. So Kingdom World Ministries is this microphone I'm wearing. Kingdom World Ministries is this light that is shining on my face here. This Kingdom World Ministries is all the expensive lights that Junior Israel made us pay for so they can video you properly. Kingdom World Ministries is all this equipment on the other side. The cameras, the server that we pay for in the US, that website, all the things put together to advance the movement of this world. That is Kingdom World Ministries. Anything you want to do in life needs an organization around it. That is what we call a business. That's what we call a business. I'm not teaching on business now, right? Just to give an idea, all right? So you have to exercise your gift. And that is why we do business. Is, look, you have to practice the principles of righteousness. Everybody is stealing. Somebody must do business who does not steal. Everybody is selling fuel, 10 liters. They remove 1 liter. You pay for 10, you get 9. Because I need 2-3 of my guys, open a filling station here, over there. And if you say 10 liters, it is 10 liters. If you say 10 liters, it's 10 liters. Those who serve you must be nice and courteous and must not beg. I hate those who offer service that can't stop begging. It's very annoying. And I keep on saying all those people that work in the airport, welcome, sir. Your bag is fine, sir. We have cleared it, sir. It's Friday, sir. It's a shame on you. You see, adults, well-dressed, respected men and women turn themselves to a Bambiala. You know what's Bambiala? I guess it's a small jab I'm throwing at people that annoy me all the time. Nice service God wants you to go and produce called righteousness. Most importantly for me, it's not doing righteousness is not just the thing, but teaching righteousness. God has to have a reference point. Somebody, he says, go and watch, observe his ways and be like him. Go and watch, observe her ways and be like her. That's what God is looking for. You know, in every generation, God needs references. People that he can say, listen, you say the country is hard. That's why you are stealing. Look at that guy. Country is also hard for him. He's not stealing. Just by the way. That is why you don't really know what God is doing in your life each time. Sometimes life is rough. God says, yes, it needs to remain rough for you for 5 years. What you don't know, it's not like I can't supply your needs. But I'm trying to make a point with your life. I'm trying to make a point. Why did Job suffer? You know, God could have left Job the way he was. And Job would have been a nice guy, successful all his life, write books on this and that and that. God said, no, somebody has to be selected in the generations of man to show what is called faithfulness. To show what is called love for God. Like one pastor said to us then, he said, it was placed in the Bible to cure the backsliding of saints forever. So no matter what you go through now in life, there's nothing you want to tell God. When you come to heaven to come and complain, God, I look at how I save you. As you are knocking, banging the gate of heaven, you want to see the Lord. You will tell Job to go and open the door. So you open the door. Hello? I need to see the Lord. You need to see the Lord? What's the problem? Look, I don't have time to talk to anybody. It's the Lord alone I want to see. What I have gone through. Only I remains of all his servants. Only I. What is your name? Elijah. Tell him. Sit down here. You sit down. He that turns himself, he turns away from evil, turns himself to a prey. What kind of country are we living in? No, I'm giving the Lord 2 more days. Either he will do something for me or I do something for myself. So you see one guy strolling the corridors of the judgment hall. Alright? Okay. He's busy now. He'll soon see you. Alright. See, but by the way, why were we waiting for the Lord? What is the issue? I was in the office. But God said we should help move some money. I refused. I thought the Lord would defend me. Do you know, by the end of the week, they had lied against me that I came late 2 times in a week. And no, I came 8:05. Opening time is 8:00. And that's just unusual. It's unusual. I normally come on time. I've been given query. I was on suspension for 3 months. No pay. I prayed and prayed and prayed. God didn't do anything. No, my friend who went to Amadioha, within 2 days, oh, God don't get struck. Job said, So this righteousness thing, I don't know how it's working. What happened? The other day I sowed a seed, powerful seed in church. My house caught fire. It burnt. So the guy said, wow, this is serious. He said, God should do something so that people who are serving him will know the kind of God that they are serving. I don't understand. So what do you want the Lord? No, I just want the Lord to know. I have only a few more days. After that, me and him will revise this relationship. I said, this is a serious matter. So what's your name? My name is Okechukwu Adilabu. Okay. Where are you from? From Nigeria. All right. What's your name, sir? Job. Job? Yeah. Job. The land of Oz. The same Job? Yes. Is it the same Job that Satan was arguing? Job said, it's me now. Tell the Lord I've withdrawn the case. You carry your Bible, all your load. Tell the Lord not to worry, not to worry. Job, anyway. Nice guy. God bless you, Job. See ya. When you get home, you know, your wife was with you. She was pacing. What did the Lord say? He says, sweetheart, I've just thought about it. I mean, the Lord gives. The Lord takes. After all, he's the one that gave that job. Let him take it. He's a good God. Well, thank God. And your wife is looking like, what happened? No, nothing happened. It's just I began to reason. You know, sometimes, you just began to reason. No, you know, something just happened to me. I just thought of Job in the Bible, you know? After all, the same God we are serving. And Job was faithful to the Lord. Let's leave God. He's wise. He knows what he's doing. Praise God. And I say, okay, if you say so, I say so. If Job can serve God, there's nobody that you should not be able to serve God. What have you gone through? What have you gone through? Job went through everything. Where am I going? So sometimes in your life, that's what God is doing. You may not know. Do you know Job never knew? This story was written by scribes later. Moses believed to have put it down for us. And Moses did. Did anybody on the earth see the courts of heaven? Physically then? No. So whoever wrote that had to be a prophet. God had to take the person back in the records of time. So see what went on. So the person didn't just see. So the narrative was actually, look, it was dictated by God, by the Spirit of God for somebody to write. Because that person was obviously working a prophetic office for him to have seen what happened in the courts of heaven. For him to have seen the sons of God and Satan come in the midst of them. So he wrote it down for us to cure the backsliding of saints forever. In your life also, you may not even know what God is doing each time. You may not know. That is why you just stay faithful. Even if you died in the process, just stay faithful. Is that not why we talk about the saints of old? The martyrs of old? That did not love their lives even when they were faced with death? Is that not why we talk about people like Peter? Paul? Or what's the name of that disciple of Apostle John? Polycarp. We read the story of Polycarp, and all you need to do is read it, And the spirit of the matter will enter into you. I learned something when I was in Sokoto. Say there are two kinds of matters. There are those who live, who die for him, and there are those who live for him. Both of them are matters. You don't get it. They didn't behead them, but their whole life they've given it, they've sacrificed everything. We read the story of Polycarp. Somebody betrayed him and they came to arrest him. He had dreamt the night before. I think he said he dreamt that his pillow was on fire. So he knew what it meant. They came to arrest him. They found him waiting. He wasn't... When they wanted to burn him at the stake, he said, tie him. He said, tie me for what? They said, you denied the Lord. He said, all these years I've served him. He has never done me anything wrong. He said, tie him. He said, tying him is not necessary. You know, you read that story. When lecturer threatens you that if you don't go to bed with him, you will fail. You know, you start laughing. Now, I've told you young ladies, please, you have to do something bad for my sake. Tell the man, waka. No, you know, there are things you do. You know, this man knows that you have made up your mind to die. I don't know whether you get my point. What does mere work? I don't know. I just know it's an insult. You know, we grew up. Has anybody ever asked what that meant? We don't even know. We just know if we tell it to you, it just means mere to you. I told you the one of my children came and reported the other one. I think, yeah, it's Victory. Where is he? Yeah, he's him there. The one that was on the camera earlier. He's the one that told his sister, Maggie. So that one came and told me that he said Maggie. I was like, what is Maggie? And I asked Chiwe, he was working with us that time. I said, what's Maggie? Chiwe said, Miss Mayor to you. There was no further interpretation that she could give. Of course, I told him, sorry, there's no mayor to you. So I told his sister, look, I told him, don't tell your sister mayor again. Mayor, what does mayor mean? In the same manner I'm saying to you, just tell that lecturer mayor to you. When you say like that, the guy will know that, look, you are not threatened. You know, there's a way you'll be saying,
but no, sir, it's not good.
There's nothing like it's not good. A guy is good, that's your problem, mayor to you. What do you say? Thunder fire you there, sir. No, do it like that, though. What did you tell me? Dust with Babylon go down and not rise again. That scripture, every young girl on campus should cram it. That kind of person, just says, next time, just come to the office. Just hold a bottle of water. As he talks, pour out for your rug. As he pour, say, does the Babylon go down and not rise again? Say, okay, as you cannot pack that water from this rug into that bottle, so shall your thing be unpackable. Say, that's what my pastor said I should tell you. Any other thing to tell me? Should I tell you the truth? One of two things will happen. Either he will carry out his threat, or he will run from you from that day. That is. No, I'm telling Christians, see, there's a way you do some things. When you look, Bible says they don't love their lives when faced with death. The fear of death is how Satan gets us to fall for temptation. So if you don't do this now, they victimize you in the office. It's because you're afraid of victimization. Like, that's what I've told everybody. Do the bad. See, I'm those things I've said now, not a joke. You know, they are trying to tell you I'm joking. Young ladies, please do it. You say, why? Because he let everybody just know that this girl is not planning to compromise. He's ready to die for this matter. I'm not planning for compromise. We're not planning to negotiate. That's what Pharaoh does. Negotiation. You can go, your young ones will not go with you. You can go, you leave your animals behind. It's negotiation, it's satanic negotiation. Let them know from the beginning you are not negotiating. I'm not negotiating. Okay? There's no negotiation. Maggie. Leave it like that. So in your life, that's what I'm making. You don't know what God is doing. So don't just hold on to the Lord. Because many times, what you call breakthrough that you are waiting for, God says, I know how to give it. But who will I use to teach the story? That people can love me without breakthrough. That Nigeria's situation is not enough excuse for Christians to steal. I've told you, I was telling my wife, was it this morning or yesterday night, we were just talking about it. I said, look, there are some things I pray to God for. I said, God, I beg. Let not those who hopefully wait for you be ashamed because of me. This statement I've made for you, you'll be surprised. I'm ready to face death, literally, for it. And I'm not joking. I'm not saying I have the strength in myself. I pray to God for it. Let nobody say, hey, that's how they preach. That's how they preach now. Don't you know? Remember Pastor Banky? His website is still there. Every way he tell you, look at what he's doing behind. I told God, if you have to behead me before that happens, go ahead, behead me. And I ask you from the bottom of my heart in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I'm not kidding about it. That somebody will now be telling stories, say, hey, leave them, that's what they will be saying. No, I said, Lord, I've said it. Let me die for it if necessary. So God needs people through whom he will make certain points clear. The Lord is good. What's the point we're making? Even if he delays, don't worry. He knows precisely what he's doing. I began all of this trying to emphasize something. That faith does not mean you can control life. Faith is used to submit to God. Faith is used to submit to the Lord, not to be fine-tuning life to the way you think it should run. Faith is not used to fine-tune life so you can get what you think is best for you. No, that's not what faith is. That's not what faith is. Many people have ideas as they are growing in life. God tells them, that is not my calling for your life. Like one of the Bishop Oedipo said, they say he wanted to be rich, wanted to be a businessman, so that he will sponsor. That was what he thought. Then God called him to ministry. And he said he felt bad because he felt God. Hi. So now I'm not going to have money to sponsor the gospel. Let's make a long story short. The Lord said to him, from his testimony, that don't worry about it, in summary. But there's another person the other way around. That was what happened. He wanted to serve God. His name was R.J. Lotueno. And he was going to do ministry. He wanted to go on mission so he could serve God. But good enough, he talked to a minister first. And minister said to him, in summary, let me just summarize it, paraphrase everything. Your own job is in this business you are doing. But what will you now do? That mission, you will contribute to it financially. That's what God said to him. That mission that you wanted to go for, I don't want it to physically go. I want it to financially go. And God blessed his business until 90% of what he earned was sent to the mission fields that he wanted to go to. Those same mission fields he wanted to go to, he sent his money there. Now, he would have gone. He was willing, but God said to him, in effect, that's not the way I want it. The way I want it is this other way. Do you follow my point? It will have been erroneous on his part to be breaking the doors of mission field for him to go and preach open. And that's like, listen, again, it's a small aside. I drop it once in a while. How do I say this without offending anybody? If God has made you very, very rich financially, please, let me beg you, pray double before you open a ministry that involves you preaching and teaching. Pray twice. I've seen too many. Some of them are your look. I tell my wife, this fellow is not called. It's money that called this fellow. Yeah, money calls people. Yeah. See, after God, the most powerful person on the earth is money. To send you on errand, send you on mission, change your diet. Yeah, it will just teach you how to talk, teach you, do all kind. Money. That guy is too powerful. He's so powerful. Jesus told his people, come. Beware of covetousness. He said, he had to warn them, you cannot serve God and mammon. He didn't say you can't serve God and the devil. They knew that. He said, you can't serve God and mammon. So when mammon is passing, Jesus said, Peter, call everybody into the house, into the house. Because he doesn't want mammon wahala. Mammon will call you to ministry. Oh, yeah, it will. The one thing about money, money is very funny. If God doesn't build you before he gives it to you, you will go mad. You guaranteed. No, guaranteed. Guaranteed. You don't know me. No, two of us don't know you, me and you. We don't know you. You see, you don't know how powerful money is. I know, because money is so powerful. Not only in Nigeria. See, this is America, everywhere running to. Eh? There's one guy, very rich guy, my friend explained to me. He dealt in drugs. Alright? He was a big guy, but he had financial issues. So he went into drug business. But he fell into the hands of the feds. That's the FBI. My friend explained that he didn't have to bribe people. He used money to kill the case. And he went free. He didn't bribe anybody. But he had so much money, he hired the best lawyers in America. The lawyers scattered the whole FBI program and declared it illegal. Did they do it? Yes. But they focus on entrapment. That is not legal for you under the constitution to entrap anybody. Not only did he go free, all the whole program scattered. My friend said, that's what money does. The guy walked free, small black boys, who didn't carry more than one handful of cocaine. I in jail for 15 years. The guy shiploads of cocaine and he walking free, going for campaign, contribution meetings and all of that. I thought, look, you think it's only in Nigeria that money is there? That time when OJC said, I'm not saying he did anything. I'm not saying, I was not there. I don't know who killed his wife. I don't know who killed her girlfriend. The guy who was with her, I don't know. But the guy had two of America's most expensive lawyers. At the end of the day, the jury found him not guilty. The whole of America opened their jaw. Ah! They said, what is it? Because we can't see everything. Sometimes we see somebody, something else came up. I don't know what my point. They are now arresting you for sexual harassment of 15 years ago. Don't worry, you've offended somebody else who has more power than you. This is now did desire having causing problems. You think it's now? It's God that just said the time for judgment has come. If you think there's anywhere in this world that there's justice, forget that thing. Justice only exists when Jesus Christ comes back. That's just to give you what money does. That's why many of us, God says, look, listen, you know I've not given you money that you have right now. It's for the sake of your soul. I want you to be normal. See, the money you don't have, at least you get up in the morning, you have purpose. You have purpose. You have something you want to do. Yes, the motivation, you know, there are people that are motivated by, I just have to express myself. There's something inside me. Your own motivation is hunger. So let's leave it like that for now. Just be going to work, any money, they'll be going to church. I will build you up to the place where they'll be under motivation. For now, is hunger. And I'm the one that put it there. It's not your Bible. I made you hungry. That's what I'm doing. I'll feed you with manna, but go hungry first. So any day you don't go out, you won't eat. It will take you like 5 years before you have learned enough scripture to be able to go to work, food or no food. At that time, you understand, I'll now give you plenty of money whether you leave the house or you don't leave the house. Because now I've taken over. You know, I told you the story of, what's our brother's name? The old man in America then. I talked about him a lot of times. The one that was about to die, then God showed him a casket and showed him a Bible. Lester Sumrall. Lester Sumrall said for the first few years of his life that he was preaching to stay alive. What do you concern and concern the lost? See? He was winning souls, though. He was saving the lost by his preaching, though. But he didn't care. His own was that, guys, let's go and preach. Why? If we don't go, I will die. I have signed an agreement with the Lord. If he keeps me alive, I will preach for him. So let me fulfill my part, though. Guys, I don't want to die. He testified himself. It took years before he changed that pattern. But all that while, he was being built up. He was growing. He started at about the age of 18. He was young. So he kept on growing, Then one day, he now had bought the passion of the Lord for the lost. So after some years, was now preaching because indeed, Jesus died for these people. They need to know about it. His preaching changed this time around from compassion, from just trying to stay alive to compassion for lost souls. At that time, I can tell you what happens in heaven. God removed that threat of death. It's no longer necessary. God says it's no longer necessary. Now if you don't preach, I won't even kill you. I will judge now that way. But you have too much sense now not to preach. So for many people, God said, look, don't worry. Just go to work. A time will come. And generally, let me tell you something. In fact, that's what I wanted to teach today. But let's see what I can get back there. Yeah, I think this is a good place to connect to it. All right, so these are all aside things. And let me just connect what I'm saying. Now, the truth is that what God is doing, that's why I began talking about the kind of person God is. And went into all of this. Let me try and put order into it so that you remember where we started. As I was telling us the kind of person God is, do you remember? And then I now said, look, don't try and manipulate him. You're not doing anything for him. So I now took time out to explain to us that the kind of faith that we learn sometimes, which we try to use to manipulate life to our own, idea, is not faith. It's nothing but witchcraft. And even Satan uses witchcraft to manipulate life for his own purpose. So we don't learn faith to manipulate life for our purpose. We learn faith to submit to the will of God. And I went ahead to talk about, don't worry about the future. I keep on talking about it because that worry, it sends a lot of people off the path of God for their lives. All right? The last point I made is that, listen, God has different paths. So I just cautioned, because I told the story of R.G. Lotono, that he said, let me go and preach, but God said, go and do your business. So they merged the two. God supplied a lot of funds through him for missions. He didn't have to go there. All right. He visited some mission fields, but not as a preacher. Okay? And that if you're a rich person, be careful. Before you decide, I want to launch me, because money can make you do what you're not supposed to do. Now, let me just say this. I'll get back to what I'm saying, all right? But learn a generous heart. What did I say? You know, one major problem with our life, with us here as human beings, all right? The things in the world are three. What? Loss of the eyes, the loss of the flesh, and the pride of life. We like to build things and attach our names to it. It's the pride of life. Many people are doing ministry. They have money, so attach their name to it. So they can't understand that. Why should Dinwoke start a ministry? He calls it Dinwoke International Evangelical Organization. And then I'm the one that will give him 200 million naira to do it. And my name is not on it. Do you get my point? So what they would rather do You see? All right, didn't work. Here is 10 million. I've given to your ministry. Let me start my own. And call it Bankole International Ministries. And I'll pump all my name into it. So that when it is established, my name is in it. Now let me just say something to you. That money, I hope you know, is not your own. Are you aware of that fact?
Yes, sir.
So if you give it to Dinwoke, you have not done him a favor. You haven't. That I just registered yesterday night, yes. And I remember that's my wife and I yesterday night. I think I can now just the gist small here. One day, somebody told the tall reverend, Reverend Yinka, that you and your pastor, you are strange people. Because he was trying to tell him to be nice to somebody, one of the people that help us in some things in ministry. Like, you know, they are the ones that help you guys, though. So Yinka looked at him like, what do you mean by that? They're not helping us. They're helping the Lord. We are serving God. They are serving God. We don't owe them anything. This guy looked like, you and your pastor, you are strange people. No, no, he said, no, no. Let's get it clear. Eh? We are nice brethren to each other. You are a brethren. Is that English good? You can, one singular brethren. I thought brethren was only plural. It's plural. So she's, okay, so, okay, you guys can fight over it at the end. Let me just, so you are a brother. I'm a brother or sister, whatever it is. Okay, let's not cause confusion. We are brethren. We are brethren. And we are serving the same Lord and Master and the same Savior. You're not doing me any favor. That's my attitude. You're not doing me any favor. If you get up today now, carry, maybe, you say, Pastor Ban, here's $1 million for Kingdom World. Once he says Kingdom World Ministries, I give the same God bless as the gate depends, I give 1,000. Because that money, I know go chop them. Anything we use it for is to preach the gospel. So you have given to your Lord. And you trust me to administer it well. And now you have put me in more trouble because now there's temptation in front of me. Do you get my point? So you have not done, see, in case you did not know, I have not considered that you did me any favor. Because all the money you give, we know where it goes. We know where it goes. You can go and meet a tall reverence accountant who's doing audit. He can show you where everything is going. He will show you that my diet cannot change because you give $10 million offering to Kingdom World. Because we have money and I say, okay, minister's meeting is tomorrow. We're going to have a free course meal for breakfast. See, now you have led us astray. We're not doing minister's meeting and eating food. Now that's supposed to be a joke, okay? But what I'm going to say is that, see, there's no, you haven't done me any favor. My children are not inheriting the ministry. They're not inheriting the ministry. If they inherit the ministry, they inherited work. I don't know whether you're getting my point. The inherited work. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Please, let's get Christianity clear. If God sends you to, what's the name of that ministry? Dinwoke International Evangelist Missions. Uh-huh. He doesn't have to put your name on the building. That's worldliness. Just check whether he's a person that is spending your money well. That is the manner that you'll be happy. Like now, okay, we gave him that money. We found that they have opened a mission field in Uganda. They've opened in Kenya. Before that time, we knew they had opened all over Nigeria. They had opened in Uganda. They've opened in Kenya now. They've opened in Cameroon. They are translating teachings. You can't say, but it's his teaching now. It's his voice they are hearing. So let me ask you a question. How much are you paying Paul today for reading his books? In case you do not know, those of you who want to understand how I reason, that is why our materials are free on the internet. Because Paul's materials are free in my Bible. No, God taught me that in over the last, over many years. I can't look at anything on earth as a source of my sustenance. If I need money, I must pray. So please, what I'm saying is, please don't let money call you to ministry. If you have money and you want to do ministry, go and look for those who are doing it. Warren Buffett took some years ago, 89, he was then about the second or third richest person in the world. He's still among the top 10 till today, Abby. You know, he keeps fluctuating. But the guy is very, very well to do. And he gave 85% to the then richest man in the world. Do you get my point? I can't remember what the value was, but if it's today's dollars, you'll be talking like him being 100 and something million. Things have changed, all right? But then he took 85% of 100 and something billion, that's a million, billion, I need to say, dollars. And gave to the richest man in the world that time. by our own assessment of who he gave it to. But actually what he did was he gave it to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Why? He said giving out money is hard work, that I don't have the energy for it. That he had detected that Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the people there have the energy, the skill, the time, the resources, the know-how to give out money. So why give myself the work? So he gave them all his money almost. He said, because my wife and I agreed that all this money must be given out. Now the wife had died. So he said, all right, so that means time is now counting down. If I don't do it, I don't know who will do it. As for my children, I've settled them. The rest of the money, I can't start this work that Bill Gates is doing, running all over the world, trying to cure diseases. So he gave him the man all the money. He said, go and be curing diseases. And the whole world was like, what? But if you have to understand it, the man was very smart. Why would I? He said, giving out money that is intelligently is as difficult as making it. So I've seen a man who can do it. For those of us who are in ministry, Christian, it's the same thing. Why do you want to be a preacher when you don't have a preacher in you? I've seen people, they start talking. I tell my wife, this guy is not called. He's not called. The one I told my wife like that, we're just watching on TV. The guy was talking. I told my wife, this guy is not called to ministry. 2 years later, he was dead. I said, but sir, didn't I tell you that this guy is infringing on places he shouldn't go to? They even gave him a title. I said, title will kill this guy. 2 years later, he was dead. I told my wife, didn't I tell you? Don't let money call you to ministry. Be willing to give it out without having your name attached to it. You don't have to come to church and this, because you are a major sponsor of the ministry, you sit in front. You've lost your reward. You just lost it. Or I say, I come to the front, like, why? That is not meant for your ministers. Yes, so why am I there? Put your deacons there. Put your guest ministers there. Put your senior church workers there. I don't belong there. If I'm in your church and we're one, okay, good, we'll do that. But they recognize you because of what? Because I gave money. If you do it to a pastor, I won't give you again. Threaten a man of God like that, he will know you are serious. Tell him, say, sir, if this is what is causing this, I may have to change the ministry I participate in. I will say, no, I don't mean it like that. I don't mean like, please, pastor, stay outside. In fact, stay outside. Just be normal. I hope you get my point. You don't need, his money is not yours. You don't need recognition. You don't need recognition. You don't need it. It's not good for you. That's what I'm trying to say. It will destroy you. It will cut off a huge chunk of the reward with God. Because that's one thing I've noticed. Everybody, they want their... And then, of course, you know people, when you come to church, you look at the pastors as if they are the ones enjoying. Do you understand? Now, thank God for Nigeria of today, and the world of today. All right? It looks like it. But you know, you want to know the truth? It's not so. Go and read Paul. He said, as poor, yet making many rich. He told the Corinthians, see, you guys have become great. If add us join now, those guys were chopping large. Paul, nothing. He had to tell them, what is noise? Is it because we kept quiet? He told the Galatians. See, you guys are not serious. You know what really happened? Those guys were chopping. And Paul said, why are you chopping? Why are you healthy? Why are you prosperous? It's not because we preach to you. You don't know. You are supposed to have caught a portion of that and said, did we ever ask you? No, we didn't want to be like we are doing this thing for gain. Read the story of Paul. It was as if they were the ones that people walked upon. Paul said it's okay. Say they are believing in Christ. Say they are staying faithful. Hey, it's fine. Why am I saying so? So a lot of people, when they get to church, they want promotion to pastorate for visibility's sake. Think that that's where the action is. That is where they work. You know, my alumni fellowship is a very funny place. Very good Christian place. Recently, some people were added to the ex-co. So I told them, one of them, that was last time. I said, now, welcome to spending your money for LOCAF. When they put you on our ex-co, eh? You have to pray for God to give you money. Now why? Because Pastor Corey will just say, okay, next meeting is in Abuja. Everybody's meeting as well as house. How you get there is your problem. One of our brothers has been in our escrow forever. They meet in Enugu, he will fly from Abuja to Enugu. Nobody refunds him 50 kobo. If he doesn't have money, better go and enter road. But that meeting, he will come. If you host all of us, it's your money that isn't the cook. Nobody's refunding you. That's how we behave. People have tried to say, well, you guys, no. One day we had a meeting, he said, no, leave it like that. Anybody comes to the escrow, he knows it's a sacrifice. When Pastor Corey first took over that time as president, he decided to take a tour around and visit everybody. What people did not know was that the association did not give him a dime. When I say everybody, I mean he went to the UK. Yeah. I'm not talking about Lagos, Port Harcourt, Benin, Warri, he went everywhere. He said, no, let me see my UK brethren. Those who don't know, watching from outside, say he's not the president. Look at the way he's traveling. He was spending his own personal money. But of course, some brethren are wise. Just they see what he's doing. Say, oh God, I beg. Let me support. That's probably the best that happened. I don't even know how much of that happened. The other day, he and another of our ESCO members needed to travel. Where would they get money from? Some people misunderstood. He had to use that to explain to people. He called one of his guys. I need to take this trip to so-and-so country. Buy me a ticket. Now, a friend. So that one said, okay, no problem. Said, this other person is going to call. Sorry, I can't afford two tickets. I said, don't worry. They call another person. This Pastor Corey is going. I need to go with him. We have to do some mission work and all of that. What do you need? We need some of you to contribute the money and this. That one said, okay, no problem. He bought the ticket and sent. The association did not pay a 50. You know, call 50 kobo? I'm talking about Christianity. I hope you get my point. So, look, it's not. Don't get the impression that when they now promote you to being pastor. People have said before, that's when you now start enjoying. Look, that's when you now start suffering. If you start enjoying uselessly like that, you'll be punished uselessly. I'm telling you the truth. So don't even, if you want to serve God, serve God. Be happy to be hidden. Even if you're in the church, only you give 90% of the money they are spending. It does not, don't let anybody go and build a statue of you. They're collecting reward from you, denying you of what God wants to do in your life. Don't let it happen, no. I've been warning you. Don't let money send you into ministry just because you are rich. And I beg you, if you find, like I said, do the agile to nothing, the Warren Buffett style. You find those who are doing the work. I've seen people, even pastors self, not only rich people, even pastors, be careful. It's not everywhere that you can open a branch. If you see people who are there, who are doing the work, they will not remit their offering to you. Don't worry. Those who are too poor to give you offering anyway. It's true. You go, you know, you see ministries opening branches where they can't survive. How can your pastor be wearing tie and be in that village? You should know that he doesn't belong. The senior pastor there must be a farmer. There are villages where you get to. Just say, this city boy does not belong. You say, he has a demon spirit. He left. It's not you, the pastor. Can you go there? Senior pastor, can you go there? You sit in Abuja, sit in Lagos, post me to go job. But you're not serious. Now tell me, I have a demon spirit. Oga, let's go together. Stay for 3 months. Then I will learn from you. Can't be driving a Rolls Royce and driving an S-Class and tell me to go and ride a bicycle. I'm not saying people shouldn't ride bicycle, but not in this our ministry. We're an S-Class ministry. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? So what should you do? Don't post this to your city boys, please. I'm begging you, don't. Send scouts to go there. If you locate one guy riding bicycle there who's preaching sound word, tell him, say, this sound word, does he need a microphone? He says, yes. Send him books. Invite him for your minister's conferences. Pay his bill. When he's going back, give him books. Give him materials. Visit him. Tell him his children, which school do they want to go to? Pay. That's when you know there are many farmers who can preach. You will know now. That is when you will know. They will open branches. The one that the guy used to farm money afternoon and night, come to go and preach the word, sweating from cocoyam. See, it's not good. Make that not necessary for him. Do you get my point? Don't send your city boys to places where they can't thrive. Mosquito buys them, they have malaria. City fly buys them, they get trypanosomiasis. Everything buys them, they are sick. It's not like the spirit is not there, just that they don't belong there. If they belong there, they don't. You don't need your name everywhere. That's why we said earlier, I believe the Holy Catholic Church. We didn't say the Holy Roman Catholic Church. The Holy Catholic Church, that is the whole church worldwide. So even if it's not the member of our denomination, if they are preaching Christ and we are spending money on them, we are happy. Then everybody has a grace. Some of these pastors I'm describing, not a bad thing. I hope you know rich people need to be preached to. There's one music I have, you know, by Dion DiMucci. Dion DiMucci said, we're describing different people. He said, after scrubbing floors in the mansion, she bought the nice bus to go home. He says, it's been just a year that since her husband passed on. So she still gets to feeling alone. So she's a widow and a cleaner. Do you get my point? He said that, then when she gets to feeling alone, then she described that. Then I discovered another person. He said, how did he start again? No? He said, a top floor executive hangs up his long distance call. He said, the decisions he makes will reach around the world. So after work, he takes a limousine and drives to the club to dine on lobster and wine. Then he gets home and talks to Jesus. Yeah, that's what he's saying. She gets home, talks to Jesus. He gets home, talks to Jesus. He said, whether they are high or they are low, they still get to what? Talk to. That's where I'm going. It's a very beautiful song. He said, each night alone, they each talk to Jesus, asking him to change their tomorrow. He hears them all. That's what they say. He hears them all, no matter how great or small they are. Yeah, that's what he said. What am I going to say? Even the rich people, they need to hear the gospel. There are churches you will get to, the average car will be an E-class. And I don't mean Tokumbo. Clean one. You know, you enter that kind of church, you go look yourself, say, I bet now get deeper life over here because deeper life has banned everybody. So they all dress the same way. It's good. So I'm not saying that you can't have rich ministry. You can. I saw one, you remember that video we were watching? When Papa arrived at that Commonwealth Church, Omo, convoy of Rolls Royces, I said, and when the man of God stepped down, again. He could see it. The whole place went agog. They opened the door. Man stepped down. The shoes were anointed. The suit was anointed. Everything was anointed. Is it good or bad? No, it's not. It's just something. It's just. Do you get my point? That's just their level. So, but if that's your ministry, understand it. If God gives you a heart to go to areas where your boys can't survive, there's not a problem. There are men who can survive there. What we need to do is recognize that we are not in competition. Do you follow my point? Give them what they need. They don't have to acknowledge you. They don't have to call you. They don't have to call you their father in the Lord. You're not their father in the Lord. You're the brother that God gave money to. Do you follow my point? You have to treat them like equals. I think some people are hearing what I'm saying. And that's one way by which our work will be effective. Apostle, you know what I'm talking about. You saw people trying to plant church. You just be laughing at them and say, you don't belong here. Bring that money. There are people who can do it. We'll give it to them. But we won't tell you thank you. What are we thanking you for? For serving your master? No, they're serious. Go and ask for your thank you from the Lord if you have the mouth to do it. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I hope my admonition is well received. So let's get back to what we were saying, if you know what we were saying. All right, I was saying something earlier. Okay, let me see. I think I can get there now. You remember where I took a pause a short while ago before I decided to amplify some things that I said? Is that, you know, I was saying that God says, be hungry first. Let that be the motivation. You understand? Then after a while, I will bring another motivation, but you must walk. I hope you're getting my point. All right. And now when you've gotten to that point, he removes the hunger motivation. So whether you go out or not, there will be a lot of food for you to eat. And I was now saying, I wanted to begin to say, which is why we read this. Let me now see whether I can get into it and let's see how much of it I can do. Now, I was saying that, is that build up that's the focus of God in our lives? Remember, hunger was a motivation, all right? Then you build you up to a point in which, whether there's food or not, you are still motivated to do the will of God. Do you understand? And this is a fact about life. See, we are all growing. We must all grow as Christians. Now, every human being contributes a spiritual climate into the atmosphere. All right? A spiritual influence into the climate around, into the atmosphere around. Every human being. You release something from your spirit. All right? You do. Your spirit is producing something. Okay? Now, what you find outwardly is generally influenced with a number of things. Okay? There is the will of God. There's a blessing. There is a blessing. But then this is modified by what the heart of man produces. Now, if the heart of man, that is mankind there, produces what is evil and negative, eventually the blessing is corrupted, and the whole place is destroyed. Now, never forget that. Now, don't be impressed with anything on this earth. Things are only skin deep. That is, you see a country, see, they have good roads, It's just skin deep. It's not deeper than that. Human beings are afflicted different ways in different parts of the world. I hope you hear what I said. See, human beings are afflicted different ways in different parts of this earth. The person riding a shiny environment or lives in a shiny city can be dead inside, hating life itself. But you that don't know, you are looking and you are impressed. Please, that's one thing I pray that I'm not talking to unbelievers, I'm talking to Christians. There are things you must learn. Was it here I was sharing the other time about thirst? He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood will not thirst anymore. He that drinks the water that I give will never thirst. Please, I don't want to start that teaching now. All right? I pray that God will remind me to teach it. You know, satisfaction actually comes from drinking of the water that Jesus gives. If you don't have it, no environment can give it to you. Please, if you are listening from the UK, don't be angry with it. I keep on using this as an example. But it's because I read it somewhere, and it's very beautiful for us in Nigeria to see. The International Body of Psychiatrists did an assessment worldwide on how happy and how miserable people are in different countries. They rated, now, of all the countries and territories on the earth, over 200 of them, UK was rated as number 2 in miserable index. Can you believe that? They saw Iran, Iraq, Syria, Somalia, Yemen, there is war all the time. I've not even reached Nigeria. What are you doing? Just a few bandits and a few things. Look, these are places where wahala de Congo, thank you. They saw those countries. I said, one day, one of our brothers that goes to Rwanda, and he said he went to Burundi for a mission. I said, what's the difference between Rwanda and Burundi? He said, sir, you see, in Burundi, they are very poor. I said, what? No, there's a reason why I said that. Yes, they didn't rate them. Of all the countries in every country in the world, though, they rated UK as number 2 most miserable country to live in on the earth. Please, like I said, if you're in the UK, please, this is not an attack on the UK. I didn't do the study. I saw this, it was an international news body. They were interviewing American Surgeon General. So it's not something behind. This was being quoted by the Surgeon General, the current Surgeon General of the United States. He went for a conference in London and they were discussing it. So don't even be deceived to think that anything physical will satisfy the hunger in your heart. When the richest man in the world currently, the son got up and said that I renounced any relationship with my father and I'm now a girl. Did you hear what I said? The current richest man in the world, that was what the child did. He or she said, I hate billionaires. That they are evil people. They are the ones ruining the world. Maybe you don't get what I'm saying. Meanwhile, your father is the richest man in the world, though. So you get up and say, all these billionaires are wicked people, evil people. They are the ones ruining this globe. So my father, I don't know him. By the way, when I was born, they said I was a boy. It's a lie. I have grown up to discover that I'm a girl. And the person went ahead to start process of conversion to the opposite. Now, what does that tell you? So if you think money will solve your problem, that one should have told you that it may be the cause of your problems. Because I don't have too much time to go into the main thing I want to say. I will just explain this. Please, I'm begging you, don't look for satisfaction anywhere else apart from in Christ. Now, let me say this to you again. You know, you say, okay, I'm looking for satisfaction in Christ. No. A lot of people may say they are not. I've said, see, with God, priority and magnitude matters. What I'm trying to say is that we all love God, most of us. But is it the one we love most? We all fear God, most of us. But is it the one we fear most? Do you get my point? We will obey God, most of us. But is it the one we will obey first? And once the answer to that is not yes, 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 God takes it like, you don't love me, you don't fear me, you're not obeying me. So when I say that, look for your satisfaction in God. Look for satisfaction in Christ. If there's any other thing you are looking for satisfaction in, you have not looked for satisfaction in Christ. It can be marriage. You have a problem. If you will not be happy until you have that husband or wife, you have a problem. If it's money, you have a problem. If it's children, you have a problem. If it's a better environment, you have a problem. Until you can, look, you have to, for more. In fact, God is, okay, good. I feel like his prophetic spirit come upon me. God is demanding it of many people listening to me. That, you know why I've not heard you? I am jealous. It's in the scriptures. Something else will make you happier than I can. See, jealousy is one of the traits of the spirit that we have to learn how to maintain. What I mean is this. God created, God is a jealous God. That's it. He's a jealous God. You know what it means? It means if you love anybody more than me, I will kill the person. Maybe you don't understand. I will. That's what God is saying. If there's anything that will give you satisfaction more than I can, I won't give you. I will not give. That is, see, I'm telling you now, I will not give you. You must be able to get to the point in which you say, though he slays me, yet I will trust him. When you say God is a jealous God, the Lord thy God is a jealous God. Hey, God. Hey, there are so many things I have to share. The other day I was sitting down somewhere, I just wrote something down that I will teach it here, but let me drop a word of it. You know what God is? When you say God, God. I don't mean the person God, our Father, no. I mean the expression God, the concept. God is the source of your sustenance. God is the source of your assurance concerning tomorrow. God is the source of your life, the source of your happiness, the source of your, for us Christians, satisfaction. That's what God is. All right? Now, when it is God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are in faith. Now, if you're a supposed Christian, and everything I have said cannot be called, that is, you cannot name the Father and the Son as that thing in your life, do you get my point? Then you are walking in idolatry. And many Christians have been seduced into idolatry. Let me give you an idea. Why will your tomorrow be secure financially? Savings and investment, that's an idol. If somebody comes to teach you and emphasize to you that you have to save, you have to invest, after 20 years, I'm not going to talk that long grammar, he's presenting idols to you. For a Christian, zero investment 2 weeks before you retire should mean nothing to you. Should I waste my money? No, but make sure you are faithful. If you were unfaithful and you are saving so that you'll be safe during retirement, you are worshipping an idol. Look, when Jesus spoke, he said what he meant, and he meant what he said. Don't worry about tomorrow, he meant it like that. Don't lay up treasure on the earth, he meant it like that. One of the problems with this world, they take the word of God, break it into pieces. And they ask me, why is this one not working? What I mean is that it's supposed to be one whole. They cut it. And that's why the scriptures now become very difficult, you know, to understand the reality of it every day. Because, like now, the whole thing is total. Even though I don't want to give us a concept, what I mean is that I don't want to give us some of these concepts so that we don't make the mistake of thinking that that is what God is. But that's some of these dynamics. For example, the family structure. You go to many countries, it's been broken down. They need the savings to survive. You don't get it. Let me get it. My mother used to joke about something. She said that, no, that she has, that, oh, her pension, she was a school teacher. Her pension is being paid $2,000, and she will laugh. You know why she laughs? that what I give to her, what my other siblings give to her, make the pension nothing. And she does, just that she has to collect it. So they don't pay. She doesn't know. When they say that they are own pensioners for 2 years, my mother doesn't know the meaning of it. She's 85. She doesn't know the meaning of it. Like, okay, you don't pay pensioners. Okay. Well, let's go pensioner. I don't know what is my point. But so a certain group will get up and say, no, you don't need to have any family. You can be on your own. Then he creates a pension system to sustain you. Then you, that God placed in beautiful families, in a beautiful environment, you tell you yourself that church, Africa, we don't have sense. That what they do, and God said, look at it. You see, you've just broken my system down. And you're trying to use the compensatory methods that I didn't give to you to sustain it. That's a smaller side, like I said, a smaller side. God didn't create us to be independent, to stay on our own, living. That's why people are miserable. I have a dog, Bingo. His name is not Bingo. Once all my children traveled. Of course, you know, that's what my wife and I. People say they travel for honeymoon. My honeymoon is my house. I export the children. Just all of you go. When I married my wife, people were not there. My mother-in-law, blessed memory, she just made my every year honeymoon. So she will carry all of them. They'll go and stay with your grandmother. So one of those days, of course, she didn't used to go with the dog. It's not, the dog usually is at home. Man, one day, this dog was looking sick and, you know, unhappy. So I thought it was food. Have you ever seen a situation in which you give a dog chicken and he walks past it to enter the house? I gave the dog chicken. Take, outside. The guy saw the door open. He jumped over the chicken and entered the house. Like, to hell with your chicken. So my wife said, come on. My husband, relax. I think this dog is lonely. So I opened the door. The dog walked past in, past the chicken again. I don't know whether I had eaten this time. Walked in. Then my wife and I were downstairs at the dining. He lay down there. I was looking at the two of us. That's all he wanted to do. That was the day I understood. That even a dog, you know what they call chicken? Cooked chicken. The dog left it. They just wanted to enter the house. He didn't care whether there was food there or not. So I'm not letting him. So he just lay down flat. You know, there's a way they lie down. And you know, they have these human eyes. It's been, they have like human-like eyes. Looking at us like this. So after that, every day, come back, open the door. Bingo, come inside. Sit down there. Just put the hand on his head. Just rub his head. All right? Just rub his fore. You know, just rub your hand on the neck. And the guy was happy. I realized that human contact was more important to that canine than chicken, than food. Some of you strategizing your life to be lonely. Don't say I didn't warn you. You go to church where nobody has hugged you before. And you say you are going to church. You and your pastor, you are not normal. And you know. See, I told you before. Stop going to churches where people can't hold hands and look into each other's eyes. So, oh boy, how far now? Waste 30 minutes after church talking. Yeah. What are you running to? Heart disease is cured by that touch. I know what I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Heart disease. Well, how did I even get into that? I'm trying to tell you about human beings break up systems. Do not be manufacturing drugs to stop depression. Listen, this is a matter of fact. Eh? Antidepressive drugs are useless drugs. Most of them are very useless. They're expensive and extremely useless. Look, they don't work as well as you hold somebody's hand for 5 minutes every day. If you have patients who have mild to moderate depression and they just can just have a family member just hold their hand and say, Mama, how are you? And tell the story. Yesterday, we went to watch a film. Do you know that Kanayo and Angelina Jolie were in the same movie? And he said, just tell that story for 5 minutes and go away. It's clear, there's statistical evidence, scientific evidence, that does better than swallowing some of this nonsense people swallow. You create problems, then create drugs. Look, why did I go into that? To let you know that following God is where the safety is. I've just given a few examples. There are deeper things that we don't even understand. But following God is where the safety is. And that's one major reason why he's jealous. He said, why do you spend your energy for that which does not satisfy? That's one reason why he's jealous. I remember one brother. Now, this is not a perfect thing, but it's a good illustration. One of our brothers. So he was telling me about big men. He was in Abuja. You understand? He's a nice man, good man. So there's one particular big man he was doing some work for. He's a lawyer. He was doing some work for. So the man said, ah, but I was looking for you yesterday, you didn't come. He said, ah, sorry, sir, I went to see a client. I had a meeting with some one organization. So the man finally called him one day, said, sit down. He said, this is that you are running up and down looking for. Do you know it is nothing? I do like this, you have plenty of it. Now, that illustration, even though I told our brother, say, I understand that, but what you are doing is the right thing. Focus on your work, focus on everything. Don't rely on one man, it's but a man. I hope you get my point. So, but that's why I say it's not a perfect life, but the illustration is what I want to use. So the man just said, look, what is it you are looking for? Now, he now told me that, he didn't tell me the man's, I think he told me the man's, but I didn't connect, that these are some of the big men that control the country, but you don't know their name. That the president does not make critical decisions on certain things without talking to this guy and some other people. That these are the rulers of the country from behind that you don't know. And the man just told me, like, look, you're running up and down, young man. If I do this, everything you're looking for, you get 20 of it. So he told me, what do I think? I said, he's right, but that's not your pathway. You just go about your own business. But I just did that illustration. Some of these running up and down, God said, all that you will have hearkened unto me. He said, then your righteousness will have been like the, you know, is it like an overflowing river and your well being like the waves of the sea? I've missed up the, which one is which or not, but that's what he said. All that you will have hearkened unto me. He said, your righteousness, your well being will have been overflowing like the waves of the sea. But he said, no, we will not listen. We will run up and down. One reason why God is jealous is what I've told you. He said, look, all these things are running up and down. If I say leave, you know you will leave. If I say be rich, you know you'll be rich. Why is he jealous? Because you are wasting time following other gods. That is why he's jealous. And I want to tell you today, he's jealous. If he doesn't satisfy you, that other thing you are looking for satisfaction in is cursed by him. It's part of his jealousy. If you cannot settle down and say, Lord, I thank you that I know you. I thank you that I'm saved. I thank you that I'm going to heaven. Look, this old time religion we should preach it to. I thank you that if I die today, I'm going to be with Jesus forever. I may not be rich physically, but I'm rich in the Lord. I rejoice at your word like one who finds grace poor. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. The godly ones of the land, they are my true heroes. And you're just happy that is, you literally just lie down there. I know his name. I know his name. His name is wonderful. I know his name. Your focus being that I know. Thank you, Lord, I know you. His name is King of Kings. His name is Lord of Lords. I know his name. You know, knowledge in the realm of the spirit is not intellectual acquaintance with facts. No. Knowledge in the realm of the spirit is how spirit moves from one person to another. That's why the Hebrew, they will say, and the man knew his wife. Yeah. And the man knew his wife. Because spiritually, knowledge is not just, okay, it's true. Okay, President, I came to Enugu yesterday. It's true. That's not what knowledge is in spiritual things. When you truly know, you conceive. A portion of God enters into you. And that should make you happy. That should satisfy you. That a day in your courts is better than 1,000 days outside. That's one way by which you will not have the things you are running after cursed by God. I was telling you about human beings and jealousy. Do you know? God. When my wife first delivered that time, was it the first or one of these children, Sha? I told you, you know, the arrangement we had, because, you know, mothers go around to do omugwo. The way we used to do that, my wife was just going to stay with her mom, you know, so. So I'm the one that used to travel to go and see her. That was when I understood that God is a jealous God. I've not seen my wife in weeks. I arrived. What she did not know was that I didn't want anything. I just wanted her to sit down with me. My husband, how have you been? Let's just be talking. You know what she used to do? Everybody makes that mistake. Hey, my husband has come. She'll greet you. Then she runs. Let me go. And, yeah, there were two children that time. Let me go and bathe them. Let me go and get you something to eat. Let me go and have a bath. She will do, let me go, let me go, let me go. By the time she's coming to see me, I'm not happy to see her anymore. You're like, why are you not smiling? Why can I smile? I arrived here since 5 p.m. Look at your time, it's 8 o'clock. Look at your time, it's 9. You know, I was trying to free myself so that I will be free for only you now. You're not serious. Those children, if they don't bath today, will they die? This little rascal is not bathed for 9 months. Did I? Okay, I'm not hungry. Is it by force? I said, do you know that's when I understood that? You know, I told that marrying taught me lots about God. And I'll be saying, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. When I have other things to do, I don't remember you. And he said, but it's because of you I'm doing it. Don't do anything for me. Do me first. I'd be like, sit down here. Do you know, sit down here. Hold my hands. Let's talk. Let's, you know, just abandon these children. Who are they? You know what they are? In medicine, we call them side effects. No, that's when I understood how God reasons. Let me end my message here so that Joba can laugh at me very well, all right? Because now time has gone, so we'll get back to that another time. Listen, God has to satisfy you, or whatever else you are looking for satisfaction in is under a curse. Bow down your head. You know what to say. I'm not going to tell you what to pray about. Thank the Lord for the word you heard today. Now respond to that word. Say, Lord, give me the spirit that is satisfied in you. Give me a spirit that is satisfied in you. I don't want any other thing to satisfy me apart from you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. It's well with you in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you. Amen. The Lord keep you. Amen. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Amen. May the Lord be gracious to you. Amen. The Lord will lift up his countenance on you. Amen. He will give you peace. Amen. As you go out, it is well with you. Amen. As you come in, it is well with you. Sickness is not your portion. Amen. God wants you to prosper and be in health. Amen. Prosper and be in health.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Jesus Christ. Surely we are passed out of death and we are passed into life. We are passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We are passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things are passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you bless two people beside you? This is your season.
This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ.
This is your season of the demonstration of the Spirit
and of the power of God. In the name of
Jesus. The last one for yourself. This is my season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Share our brethren.